Through the people who he calls a holy nation, his people, we are to bring blessing into this world. So we talked about the idea of blessing other people, and I gave a few examples of how you might be able to do that, and I challenged all of us to at least attempt to bless three people this week. I don't know if you were able to accomplish the three. I personally didn't make it to three. I got to two. Didn't make it to three. It's not that I failed, and neither did you. But I do have a story to tell. Of one story, and so like any good leader, I will go first. But I want you to be thinking about that. And here's the reality about what we call church. I don't have to stand up here and talk for 45 minutes. I can, clearly, and I go too long sometimes, and I kind of drone on and on. But I don't have to do that. That doesn't make church church. For us to come together, encourage each other, help each other, pray for one another, talk about the places that God showed up in our lives and maybe in the lives of other people. That is what church should be. And if that means that I stand up here and preach, that's fine too. I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. But I would like for us to maybe build this into a practice of ours as we begin to do that. And I know when I first moved here, there was a time we would pray, and a lot of times we would go on for 20 and 30 minutes, and a lot of times it was very inwardly focused, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but we want to also be outwardly focused. We do want to pray for each other, but we also want to talk about where God is showing up in the life of His church now. We don't have to read about it only in the Bible and say, well, there's the Holy Spirit showed up. Well, I guess He doesn't do that. We don't need to think that He doesn't do that anymore. So, I'll tell you my story. But the microphone, I want everybody to come to the microphone. I want everybody to be able to hear your story. Even if you think I'm loud, which you very well may be. Some people cannot hear you, so we'd like for you to come to the microphone and stand and tell your story. If you can't make it to the microphone physically, I will bring it to you. Okay? All right. My story. I have a friend. His name is George. I see him all the time. And I've been praying about that day, what was going to happen, where God was going to show up, and there were four or five people that came across into my life that morning. I think it was on Tuesday, and nothing really was there. And then George walked in, and I started talking to George, and I said, "George, how's it going?" And he said, "Oh, let me tell you," and just starts telling me this story. And the reason why the kids are still in here, by the way, is this is the part that they need to hear. Philip's got a good story to tell them, and he can talk to them in a few minutes, but this is the kind of stuff they need to hear. So we're gonna do that, and then we'll send the kids out in just a second. So George starts telling me about this fight he's having with his neighbor over a fence, and about how he doesn't like his neighbor, and how mean his neighbor is, and about how horrible things are, and about how he's gonna go take a sledgehammer today, that day, and knock down his neighbor's fence. Because his neighbor had encroached on his property by 6 inches. And you know, people get shot over fences, right? I mean, that's not uncommon for this to happen. And you know, George is an older guy. I'd put him in his 80s. I'm not sure. But I guess he can swing a sledgehammer at 80. This man he's a very fit guy. And I was just impressed by the story he was telling me. And he crossed the line, and he very well. This has been a feud with this guy for 15 years. He goes on and tells me this 15-year story of all of this stuff that had been happening in George's life and all of this stuff. And I was just like, wow. So today, you're going to knock down the fence. Today, I got him with a sledgehammer. I'm going to go and get knocked down. And then another guy came in, and so he told the other guy the same story all over again and started talking to him about it. And I was like, wow, okay. So this is my opportunity, God. Okay. So as I was getting up to leave where we were, I finally went to George, and we started talking about gardens of all things. And anyway, finally steered back around. I said, "George, tell me your neighbor's name." And he told me his name. I said, "You know, I'm going to pray for you and your neighbor that God blesses you in this situation." And then the other guy made a joke. He says, "Well, it sounds like you need to pray for the other guy." Well, yeah, I'll pray for him too. I'll pray for your neighbor too. And then George made the comment. He said, "Well, my manager, he has property. My manager's a Christian too. She probably is going to pray too." I was like, "Well, good. Well, I'll pray for her too." So 2 days later, I saw George again. I said, "George, how's the fence?" And he says, "You know,
This is crazy. He said, I don't have, there's more things in life to worry about than a fence.
And he takes out pictures. And he has pictures of the fence. The guy actually finished it. He didn't knock it down. And he said, you know, I think I might have measured wrong. And I shouldn't just worry about that kind of stuff. I said, it's just not worth worrying about. And I'm like, whoa, you wanted to knock it down 2 days ago. And I said, you know, I said, I'm going to continue to pray for you. And he's like, yeah, that's great. He totally just shifted gear. He didn't want to talk about it. I think he got wind that God was working in his life. So he kind of steered me back around and made a joke about something else. So God moved in George's life. So I have more, hopefully, conversations with George moving forward. So God showed up in George's life. And he didn't knock down his neighbor's fence, and his neighbor didn't shoot him, which is a good thing. So that was my encounter with God this week. So I would like for anybody else that'd like to come up and tell their story. Yes, sir. Would you like to tell your story? Come on down.
Well,
you're really tall.
Well, I was at my school and had three friends fighting because they wanted to play one game and another game. And I talked to them and I told them about God and I prayed with them. And we did a lot of praying, and finally they started crying, and they told me thank you for doing that, and I just found out it was about 4 or 5 days ago, they got saved in the church.
Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, Robert. Okay. Anybody else want to tell their story? Come on down. Sandy's not as tall as Robert.
Well, I've lost quite a few pounds lately, and my pants were starting to slip down. They weren't fitting me, and I was pinning them at the waist. And I finally had to break down and go down and buy a size smaller. So I had.
Well, I'm glad that you didn't lose your pants.
So I had all these pants and blouses too that were not my size anymore. And so I offered them to somebody else, a friend, and she was so happy to get them, and she tried them all on, and they fit perfectly. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't have to bundle them all up and take them to Goodwill. She was able to help me out and take them off of my hands, and it helped her a lot too, I'm sure. And my granddaughter is she's 19, and she's just bought a ticket to fly to the Dominican Republic. And she's going with the church group on a mission there for I think it's a week, and they're hoping to go into Haiti to the orphanages there and to help the people and take money down there and buy food and things that they need down there. And and so she's been sending out letters to family and everything. And so I mentioned it to a friend of mine, and so, of course, I sent her money for her trip, and the friend said that she sent her some money, too, for her trip to go to. So I'm just praying for her safety while she's down there, because Haiti is not a really safe place to go, and she's only 19.
All
so,
right.
Anyway, that those were the two of the things that
All
happened
right.
to me.
Great. Thank you. Anyone else? Go ahead, Jim.
On the way home the other day, we heard a rumbling from the rear of the car, flat tire.
Oh, man.
So I get out and open the trunk and everything. The man from across the street comes over and asks me if I could help. And I said, no, I think I can handle it, and thanked him very much. But the story is I had to put the donut on, take Jeannie home, pump up the donut because there wasn't enough air in it, go to town and get new tires. While I'm there waiting, I'm walking through the mall, and I tap on the window at the jewelry store. And one of the gentlemen we'd been dealing with for the last 8 years in the jewelry store was there. He had just moved back from Stockton, and he is now the manager. And we started talking and catching up on old times. And he knows we travel, and as we travel, I pick up little vials of sand from wherever we've been, because his son collects sand, believe it or not. And he labels it all. One thing led to another, and I start talking about, he asked me what was happening in my life, so I told him about my daughter-in-law and son-in-law. And not knowing that he was a Christian, and I was telling him how Christ had touched us, our souls and our lives and our children. And two or three people standing around listening to us. So through our conversation, we touched other people. And when I got ready to go, he said, you know, my life is blessed. I've been divorced for 15, 20 years, but a new lady has come into my life. And the new lady was a lifelong friend. In fact, he had introduced her to another friend, and they got married.
Wow.
And as time goes on, the other friend became an alcoholic and left this wife. But he says, now I am blessed and she is blessed because we have found one another again. But the end of the conversation was, what is the name of your daughter-in-law and your son-in-law? Because when I go to church next Sunday, they will go on our prayer list.
Very cool. Amen. Okay. By the way, did you and Dorothy call today?
Huh?
Did you and Dorothy call each other today?
No.
Y'all like? You're like? You guys are like? You guys are like dressed the same? You wrote yours down. Wow. Awesome. Go, girl.
Okay. Russ teached me a little bit about cars. This girl from the fellowship. The AA fellowship. She was saying something about oil, and I remember what Russ taught me. She said, your car's no good. She took it over there. She was screaming and crying and just wanted to do something bad. So I ended up praying for her, and her name is Pam. And it calmed her down real quick. I couldn't believe how prayer really calms down people. And I have a friend that's into American Indian stuff, and she believes that there's Mother Earth, Father Sky, and all this stuff, and I told her that I'm totally not learning any more American Indian stuff. And actually, we started talking a little bit about the Bible, and me and her said a prayer together. And the other one is that I've been praying for me and Russ. You know, I know we're not supposed to do internal, but I was praying
okay.
for me and Russ.
You can pray for each other. It's okay.
And, you know, actually, I got a better blessing. I got a good morning from Amber, and me and Amber have been getting along great, and I thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
And she's actually a really neat person. When I stopped and got to know her, she's really awesome. And the worst thing that kind of happened was I have an old dog, very, very old dog, and when nature calls, nature calls. And I carry a bag for her, and this lady got upset. She went to the restroom, and the old me came back out. And but I noticed she turned on the water, and I was like thinking in my mind, because you're talking about neighbors and stuff, because she's a neighbor. I'm going to burn her grass. You know what? I'm going to walk my dog by there in this daytime and burn her grass. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm going to make her water bill go up. I'm scheming. But I know God's in me, because there's a little voice that told me, hey, you know what? You need to talk to somebody. So I asked my husband, is that, you know, good or bad? I think it's bad. And he goes, yeah, it's bad. So I know God's working in me.
All right. Amen. Okay. Anyone else?
It's even shorter for me. So I was praying about who I should be trying to bless this week, and I was thinking about how you're talking about tribes and how we have tribes of people that are around us, and one of my tribes is Facebook. And so I was just praying about who I should contact about prayer. And a girl that I went to college with about 10 years ago commented on something. I thought, maybe I need to be praying for her. So it sounds weird. Like, I wrote her a message, and I was like, hey, I've been thinking about you, and I know this sounds weird, but I just want to pray for you. How can I pray for you? And she wrote back, and it was just, like Stephen said, just, you know. And she has a newborn, and she's a teacher, and she's in Georgia, and there's a lot of cutbacks there. So she's worried about where her classroom's going to be, who she's going to be in her classroom with. She's going to have to leave at like 5 o'clock in the morning to get her child to daycare on time, and just how to transition all that stuff, and just worried about leaving her. And so it's kind of opened up, and I told her that I was praying for her, and she said, well, God must have really put you on, put her on my heart, because she really needed the prayer. So that was really cool. And then, so then I've been like, okay, like, I think I've just been like this week, just more aware of who I'm going to meet and who I'm going to run across and how I can talk to them and open those doors. And so I've been like praying as I drive, like, who am I about to meet, God? And, you know, do you want me to talk to them about you? And so I went to Maggie's swim lessons and started talking to a lady that was sitting next to me. And so I was like, okay, maybe this is it, you know. And so I started talking to her, and actually, she was a Christian, and she is a young girl, and she goes to church here in town, but she feels like God is kind of leading her towards working with children without parents. And so I was telling her about Patrick's story, and it was just a really cool conversation that I wouldn't have, I mean, you know, and I've been praying for her, but I probably wouldn't have even started having the conversation, except that I've just become more and more aware of where God's prompting me to talk and who I'm supposed to be talking to. So.
Cool. Awesome. All right, Philip.
I got this friend at work named Tyler, and so Quinn had we had a few guys over to Quinn's house this week to play poker for $2. I just didn't want y'all to think we're, you know, high rolling. But anyway, so I invited him to come with us, and there wasn't any theological conversations, or we didn't pray or nothing. But I think he's kind of agnostic. But he said he enjoyed it, so I guess that's a blessing. I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse because he lost his $2. Anyway.
I just want to share some scripture this morning with you, and this is from Book of John, the 14th chapter, the 27th verse, and then I'll tell you why I came up here. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. I've looked at that verse. I'm not going to cry. I've looked at that verse so many times. I have it typed in large letters, posted in our kitchen. And I have to go to that many, many times during the day. Now, I know there are so many people here in our congregation. You might be new this morning. Trust me, we don't do this every Sunday.
We might.
We might. Okay? But the reason I read that was to share it with you. But no matter what's going on in our lives, and if you've been here a long time, you know that Rebecca is our beloved daughter-in-law. She'll turn 42 this month. Okay. And her breast cancer has come back. It's metastasized in her liver. It's all over the liver. It's affected her glands. She has a port in her side that she is able to get fluid out from around her lungs and her heart. Her heart has been damaged. But, you know, she is a child of God. All of my children are Christians. And I've been praying for peace and comfort. If God wants to heal her, He will heal her. But her life and her death are in His hands solely. They're not in my hands or in anybody's hands here. And so we pray for peace and comfort. And I will tell you that God has blessed me because I see the evidence. Rebecca is so calm. And I think we're supposed to talk about how we're blessing other people. But she called us the other night, and my heart just, I was thrilled just to hear her voice. And her voice is being paralyzed because the glands are pressing on her vocal cords. So she talks like a little chipmunk, and that's all the louder that she can talk. So she called and she said, "Would you be able, you and Dad, be able to take me to my chemo tomorrow morning?" And I was just thrilled that she would trust and ask us to do that. And then I got anxious, Pastor. You know, knowing what the Scripture says, don't be troubled, don't be afraid. Yeah, Jean knows that because it's what the Bible says. So what does Jean do? Okay, Jeannie, that's me. I get anxious and I get afraid because we have to go through traffic to get to Walnut Creek. And you want to go from our house through Livermore over to Walnut Creek at what time, honey, did we have to go? Yeah, our appointment was at 10, so we've got to leave. We'd leave at the crack of dawn. But I had been praying off and on, just talking to God, not a formal prayer. Lord, you know how anxious I am about this traffic. This is just, you know, this is horrible to have to go through commuter traffic in the morning. Anyway, I want to tell you that the amount of cars on the freeway that morning was so diminished that I knew only God could do it. I couldn't believe it. I said, "Honey, do you realize, look, it hasn't been this few cars in ages since we've traveled this corridor." We got there an hour early. And when we drove up, they have valet parking for people that need help there. But they were all full. But that's all right. Jim drove us up, and the attendant came over, and he said, "We're full." And he said, "Do you need a wheelchair?" And I asked Rebecca, and she needed a wheelchair. She can walk, but very slowly because of her breath. And so he went and he got the wheelchair for us, Pastor, and I pushed her up, and we went up to the second floor, and she had her chemo, and it went very well. It went very well. And meanwhile, our son-in-law started his chemo in Los Angeles the next morning.
Wow.
So he called and said he was doing great, too. Good. So we just have to trust in the Lord, and there's people worse off than us. Can you imagine? They are worse off than having two beloved in-law children that are have been given a sentence that their life is going to end sooner than our normal lives would. There's always somebody worse off than us. But they think we're a blessing to them, and we know that they're a blessing to us, and God has just really shown this to me. He always does anyway, but particularly in this time.
Thank you.
Okay.
Guys, keep going. I won't preach at all. Anybody else?
I will try to keep it short. One. Two,
ready.
I'm a little bit outside of the box because one wasn't this week, but it was so fun, I got to tell them.
All right.
But for this week, I came home one evening, and the neighbor lady had out four boxes of clothing, and two neighbor ladies were across the street talking. So I was tired, but I specifically went over there just to be friendly, to talk and get to know this one lady. So I learned one lady's name. And so my purpose of going there was to get to know them, establish more relationships so I can talk to them more as God would lead. So I took the opportunity. And there's still one lady's. I'm not good with names. So if I forget your name, doesn't mean I don't know you. I have trouble with my kids' names. So the one lady, I can't remember her name. So I'm hoping to ask somebody so I don't have to be embarrassed. I have hidden in grocery stores because I couldn't remember the name of somebody coming down. Because I didn't want to insult them, they remembered mine. So that's, yeah. So that was a God appointment, and that's how far that one went. Like Philip was talking about, establishing, the warm fuzzies, and that where I'm a nice person. And anyway, so that's what that was, and that was a God thing. But about a week and a half ago, I had been praying, God, give me somebody I can help with. I put aside $20 and said, give me somebody I can help. Because people helped us financially and things are tight. So, as you give, the Bible talks about it's given back to you, pressed down and flowing over. I said, okay, Lord, I got $20, show me. So I prayed. So anyway, I went to get gas up on Lathrop Road one evening. Pull in and get my allotment of gas, and then this guy came over, wanted to know if I could help him with gas, and he said and he offered a gold ring or gold bracelet, and I said no, I get my gas, and as I go around, the still small voice, and I can't even remember, it was just a certain number of phrases, something about, I can't even remember the words, but it was words about going back and giving him the gas, and I've told God more than once, if he could talk a little louder to me. Because I don't hear well. I have trouble keeping my mind quiet. And so it's easy to miss those small things from God because I'm thinking, God, and I go with something, that's when I have to come back. So I whipped around, just parked in front of the other gas thing, and said, I have been praying that God to show somebody I can help. I'd like to give you some gas. So he offered me the gold ring. I said, I don't want anything. So I put my debit card in. Gave him $21 of gas. And then I guess that prompted him to talk to me something about God. And he happened to be from the Mormon church. And so he's telling me, boy, you really need to read the Book of Mormon, how it enlightens an understanding of the Bible. And I said, well, I wouldn't agree with that. The Bible is the book. But so then he started getting a little argumentative. And I said, no, I don't want to argue about anything. I said, I just asked God to show me somebody I can help, and so I'm glad to do it. So we shook hands, and we said bless to one another, and then I went my way.
All right. Anybody else?
I just wanted to say, yesterday we went up to Roseville, and we were driving around trying to find something to do while the kids were at Sunsplash playing, and we seen a lady walking on the street, and she had a look on her face like, she was having a really, really hard time, and I see a lot of people like that, because I work in Modesto over on Crow's Landing Road, and you see them every day. They're out there every day, just walking around. They're dirty, they're hot, and it's hard to just drive past them and not think about what they're going through, So I just have a hard time with that, and I'm trying to figure out a way that I could possibly help those people. It's a hard thing to just drive past them and not even care, and I know a lot of them are out there because they don't work and that's the way they live and everything, but on the other hand, I feel like sometimes we should help those people, so I just trying to find ideas or ways. I know talking to them about God would be one way to help them, but Other ways, you know, you could take some food, take sandwiches from home, you know, maybe give them a sandwich and cold water or something. You know, I just think sometimes we should watch those people more and try to care for them. That's
all right. Cool. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else? Going once? Twice? Okay. All right, so I can preach now for 45 minutes. Just kidding. I will not do that. But I do want to read Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2. We've been talking about being set apart, being a holy nation. God has called us to be a holy nation, and that we should be a people of blessing, a blessing to those around us, the people that come and we come in contact with, whether that be people you don't know, you've never met before, or it be people you do know, or you've established a relationship with. And there's this, you know, these things you see, they make movies out of, called the random act of kindness. You just randomly run into people. And there's nothing wrong with that, but we should also be intentional with our kindness as well. And we shouldn't just think, oh, well, it'll just be random and that'll be it and I can walk away free from it. No, we should be intentional about what God is doing in our lives. And that's what God has called us to do, to be set apart, to be holy, to grow in our maturity, to grow as a people of God, to be a blessing to other people. And so in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, Peter is talking about other things then that happen because we are a holy nation, that we're set apart from this world, that we're different from this world, that because we are God's people, that we are to bring blessing to other people. And so he really gets into conversations, and I'm probably just going to preach this thing next week instead of this week, but I do want to read just some scripture from that that talks about who we are and what we should be doing. So in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, it will start in verse 20. Verse 21. It says, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example, that you should follow in His steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in His mouth. When they hurled their insults at Him, He did not retaliate. When He suffered, He made no threats. Instead, He entrusted Himself to Him who judges justly. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep gone astray, but now you return to the Shepherd and the Overseer of your souls." So because of what Christ did for us, because of the love He had for us, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you then can then be different. You can act differently. We can be about things that are different than what the world is about. And if you were to actually read the chapter 2, starting in verse 13 on through chapter 3, verse 7, you would actually see Him talking about this world and framing it differently. And we'll talk about that next week. But as we become a people of blessing, I would like for this to be a conversation that happens in spite of me. Me as Stephen, not because I, the pastor, say so. You know, if I were to disappear tomorrow, fall off the face of the earth, I would like this to be the conversation that continues to take place. In our Bible study this last week, we are reading in Nehemiah. And Nehemiah has quite a bit of stuff going on, a lot of leadership stuff that he's doing and caring for other people, caring for the poor in the land that he lived in. And it kind of struck me in the process of all of that we are called as followers of God to do something. A lot of times when you come to a church, if you've been in church any time in your life at all, you come and if you've been a part of a church that had to call another pastor because the pastor left, the pastor retired or whatever, you know, you go through this process, and then I've lived through this process of being called to a place. And I'm called to be the pastor of Northgate Community Church. But what I was realizing as I was reading Nehemiah this last week is that I don't think I'm called only to be the pastor of this church. There's nothing wrong with being the pastor of this church. I quite enjoy it, and thank you for hiring me. But there's more to life than just pastoring this church. There's more to what we are called to than just called to a building, called to a spot in the road where we live, that we're actually called to a community. And you are called to where you live and where you work and who you interact with and your family. You are called to this side of Manteca. You are called to your neighborhood. You are called to your family. You are called to places for the people around you's sake. Not for your sake specifically. While you get blessed in that, if you follow after God and you begin to do what God calls us to do, if you read Scripture and you begin to live your life as He talks about as we do because of what Christ did for us in that little passage that we read there, we are then blessed because of that. But He came for a very specific reason. And then He calls us, a holy nation, set apart for the things that He's called us to do, to be these people, those people of God. So it should be then that this particular corner that we sit on, where we gather on a weekly basis, should be a place where we are called then to be a blessing to those around us. And that the next time, if I were to die tomorrow, and you have to call another pastor, that person who came wouldn't just come to shepherd the 50 or so people that are here today. And that's not bad. That should be happening, and that's part of the job. But that there should be a calling that goes beyond that, a calling to care for those around. And even if they don't ever come here, and even if they don't ever become a part of the shepherding process because they don't ever actually attend the church here, that they're actually called beyond this room that we're sitting in. And that should then be true for you as well. Because there's nothing different between me and you. I've gone to school longer than you, maybe. I got more debt than you because I went to school longer than you did. But that doesn't make me any different than you. And there is calling, and there's anointing, and there's leadership, and if you go read Nehemiah, there's definitely anointing all over him for the leadership that he has. And that's not, so I'm not saying that that's not true. But God is calling you as well to be a blessing to the people that live around here. Our band is going to come. We're going to close with this hymn that talks about God taking our life, and He's using us to make a difference. And I've said this a bazillion times, and definitely didn't coin the phrase, but it's still true. But that if we as a community of believers, the people who congregate here on a weekly basis, if we were to disappear, instead of actually fixing this building, we were actually letting it go to waste. And we all of a sudden one day disappeared because there just wasn't enough of us to maintain it. Would people care? Are we making a difference? Are we being a blessing? Thank you for having the courage to come tell your story. We will do this again. If you have a story next week, come tell me and I'll let you tell it. So that we can continue encouraging each other to be a blessing. To be what God has called us to be. Whether that be buy some gas or to pray for someone or to sit down and go through with someone through a difficult time in mourning. Or to celebrate with someone. I don't know what it looks like for you. But continue this week being a people of blessing to other people. Let's pray. God, just thank you for such a cool day that we see that you show up even now. We don't have to read Scripture and see that that's the only time that it ever took place. That we know that your Spirit still moves today. Lord, I pray for all the people that were mentioned here today, for the situations that are going on, the ones that need help, the ones that need a touch from you, the ones who might need help financially or physically or emotionally. God, I pray that whatever that situation, that you would show up in the midst of that. And they would see that you are real, that you care about where they are, and that you love them. And God, if then we have the privilege to be partnering with you in that, God, please give us the courage and the boldness to speak. God, for the stories that weren't told today, I pray you work in those as well. Lord, take all of us, consume us completely in your love, and then use us, Father, to bring your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Pray this in your name. Amen.